We return this morning to Luke chapter 2, continuing our consideration of the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 2, verse 21 through 35, and that's page 993 in our Pew Bibles. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 21. Luke chapter 2, starting reading then at verse 21, hear the word of the Lord. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, in which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Thus far the reading of God's word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we all know what it is like to have expectations. I imagine, children, that over the past few weeks, if not months, there has been a growing expectation in your mind for what has been taking place over the past few days. There is a highlight in your year. Perhaps it is that moment when you finally are finished with your school before Christmas break, and then it becomes real. Now begins the festivities, and then you draw closer to the time of Christmas Day, and family parties are coming, and you're going to parties, and then you finally have that moment when you get to open those presents that have been brought for you, and you're filled with a delight in that those expectations that you have are brought to a fulfillment. You begin to enjoy the expectation brought to its completion. But what we also find is that after we have this moment of great joy, all of a sudden it fades. Those toys that you just couldn't wait to play with last year are now gathering dust on the shelf, and now Christmas Day is over, and you have to wait another 362 days until we get Christmas again. These earthly moments of expectation and delight are quickly fading away. Christmas is over, children, and in a few days you're going to be going back to school. Is there anything more? Is there a more permanent source of joy and delight that God's people are drawn to, a expectation of something greater which doesn't pass, which doesn't end, which doesn't leave us wanting something better? Well, today we are going to find the expectation fulfilled of Simeon, that Simeon has this desire to see something or someone, and then when he sees that someone, it's not this, "Oh, I was hoping for something more. I was hoping for something better." But it's a permanent, lasting joy and delight in having his expectations realized. Now, we have seen over the past few weeks that Jesus Christ was rejected. As we looked on Christmas Day, that's sign that Isaiah had said to King Ahaz, even the sign itself was rejected. And we find the same thing in our passage. If you still have your Bibles open, when Simeon was speaking to Mary, he said, this is in verse 34, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against. So even Simeon points to the fact that Jesus Christ is going to be rejected by many, but he is not going to be rejected by all. Jesus is not going to come and find no reception. There is still a faithful remnant of the Old Testament church that remembers the signs and what the signs were supposed to point to. There is still a faithful remnant that was waiting for the Lord's Christ. So today we are going to see that the Song of Simeon reveals Jesus as the Savior of God for all people. And we'll see 2 points. First, the child that is presented at the temple, and second, his work that is proclaimed. We begin then by considering the child that is presented at the temple. And you can't read through these verses without finding this overarching theme of the law of Moses. There is so many connotations that have a direct connection to the Old Testament law, not only the temple itself as a building, but specific laws and ceremonies which are being fulfilled by Jesus Christ and by his family. So there are specifically 3 Old Testament laws that are going to be fulfilled in our passage. The first one is circumcision. Our passage opens with verse 21, where on the 8th day, when it's time to circumcise, Jesus was circumcised and he was named Jesus. Now, circumcision points to 2 things. The first thing that circumcision points to is the separation, the cutting away of the foreskin, which is a cutting away of uncleanliness, a cutting away of filth. So that it was a sign of purity. Through the shedding of blood, this little male child was receiving a sign of the need for something ugly to be cut off, to be done away with, so that the person would be pure. The person would be acceptable. And the second thing that circumcision points to is the dedication of this one, the setting apart of this one as holy to the Lord. Circumcision was a sign which visibly displayed to the world that this one was a child of Abraham. This one was a Hebrew. This one was a child of the covenant. Not the uncircumcised Gentile, but a Jew who is holy to the Lord. One of those members of the kingdom of priests who belong to the Lord. So Jesus Christ received the sign of circumcision, the mark of the covenant, that this one was an Israelite. Well, the next thing, the second Old Testament law that is here revealed is found in verse 22 and 23, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of Moses, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. Now this specific sign is mentioned in Numbers chapter 18, where the child that opens the womb, the firstborn child, was holy to the Lord, was dedicated to the Lord. And since this child was dedicated to the Lord, there was a ransom that needed to be taken, a ransom transaction that needed to take place. Since the Levite tribe took the place, serving at the temple, of all of the firstborn males, the parents who had this firstborn child had to come to the temple and pay a 5-shekel tax to ransom this child, in a sense, so that there was an atoning, so that this one could go back with his parents and remain with his parents instead of having to stay at the temple. He was redeemed, fulfilling the law, as I said, of Numbers chapter 18. But there is a third component, a third law, which our passage also references. This is the first part of verse 22, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed. Now, this purification law was found in Leviticus chapter 12. And in Leviticus chapter 12, we find the law that when a mother gives birth to a child, there is a time of waiting, a period of waiting, before this mother can be holy again. The mother who gives birth to a child was unclean for 40 days. And after giving birth to a male child, it's a different time frame for giving birth to a girl. But giving birth to a male child, 40 days later, the mother was to come to the temple, and our passage says, present a pair of birds as a sacrifice. So that through the shedding of blood, again, the mother would be ceremonially clean. You see, Mary could not come to the temple before this point because she was unclean from the blood flow that takes place when you give birth to a child. But now, after these two birds are given to ransom Mary, Mary now becomes clean and holy, no longer defiled. Now, when we paste these three laws together, as I said before, circumcision, the redemption of the firstborn, and the purification of Mary after the giving birth to a child, there is a theme that rises to the foreground that Jesus Christ comes under the law. As we read a few minutes ago in Galatians, he came under the law. Now, we know this to be true, but don't let the striking characteristic of this pass you. Jesus Christ is the only son born, the only child born of a woman who doesn't need the purification that these signs, that these laws were pointing to. Jesus is the only one, the only son ever born of a woman who doesn't need the very thing that these signs were pointing to. Specifically, the cleansing, the cutting off, the removal of filth by the shedding of blood. He, Christ, is the only one who doesn't need it. And yet he comes. And yet he goes through these things to fulfill them, to bring them to their completion, to carry them to the proper end. He was born of a woman, as Galatians 4 says, born under the law to redeem, to ransom, to save those who were under the law. What Christ does is that he willingly takes on the yoke of the Old Testament ceremonies to deliver those who were in so desperate need of the cleansing, of the purifying, of the atoning, of the ransom work that these signs were pointing to. So here we have the perfect heavenly temple coming to the earthly temporary temple, fulfilling these laws, fulfilling these ceremonies, bringing them to the end so that he, Christ, could be seen in all his beauty, in all his perfection, and that his work would be seen in all its beauty, variety, and worth. So Christ was physically circumcised. He was atoned for. He was ransomed as a sign of showing us what he would do. That these ceremonies were now fulfilled. The first temple was passing away, because the true heavenly temple, the permanent temple, had arrived. That was the child that was here presented in these verses. And upon arrival at the temple, Mary and Joseph find a shocking occurrence. What kind of reception does Jesus receive at the law? We receive at the temple. Now we know that throughout the rest of the books of the Gospels, that every time Jesus Christ shows up at the temple, The people are angry. Jesus does something, he says something, and the people are filled with rage. But not in our passage. In our passage, we find two godly people, Simeon and Anna. The passage continues by talking about Anna, who understand what the law, what the temple was pointing to. They were waiting for the consolation, for the comfort, for the peace of God, for God's salvation to come. And they knew that God's Messiah, God's Christ, was going to show up at the temple. Because that was the point of the temple. To set the stage, to set the context, to be the framework upon which the true temple would arrive. So here they are at the temple, waiting for the true temple. They know God's salvation is never going to be found through the blood of bulls and goats. Because the blood of bulls and goats cannot wash away sins, cannot cleanse your conscience, cannot pay the price for a man or woman's soul. And here they are at the temple, and God's Spirit has moved Simeon so that he knows, he has been impressed upon his heart, Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the thing that you are waiting for. Until you see with your eyes what your heart desires above all. The consolation, the comfort, the paraclete, if you will, the one who will bring peace, the one who will bring shalom, the one who will wipe away the tears, the comforter from on high. As Isaiah foretold, comfort. Comfort, comfort ye my people. Speak ye peace, thus saith your God, for your warfare is over. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. You see, Simeon knew his Old Testament. And he knew that the Comforter would come. Now imagine Simeon's joy. He gets to hold the Savior in his hands. He gets to embrace the Christ child with his arms. Because Simeon not only had a specific promise, he was told specifically by the Lord that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. He also knew all of the promises of the Old Testament, and he knew that they were all focusing in on this one moment. So not only does he have the joy of a specific promise, he has the joy of knowing all of the Old Testament promises, starting in Genesis chapter 3, that a seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent, and here is the seed of a woman. And Simeon takes the child in his arms, and he realizes, he acknowledges, he praises God. As Psalm 37 verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the delight of your heart. Seeing Christ's child is the thing that he wanted more than anything else. His highest joy, his greatest delight was seeing the Savior. More than all the joys that this world has to offer, more than all the blessings that we can find in this world in which we live, the highest joy of Simeon was to see Christ. God's salvation. And he was allowed to see it. And he breaks forth in a song. Verse 29 begins the song of Simeon. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss or you allow your servant to depart in peace. You've loosed your servant so that I can now come home in the comfort of your love because I have seen the Savior. I'm able to consider my own mortality. Now, we don't know how old Simeon was. We know that Anna, as the next verses, verse 36 and following, tell us, Anna was an aged saint. We don't know how old Simeon was, but we do know that he is able to look at his death without fear. Because the moment of fulfillment has arrived, at Romans 5 says, at just the right time. So Simeon, in seeing, in beholding, in knowing the Christ, is able to have a comfort that passes, that sustains, that enables them to look at death without fear, a peace that passes understanding, a comfort that even death cannot shake. Now this applies to us as well. Because when we look at our lives, and we hear Paul saying something like, to die is gain. That we can depart in peace, as Simeon says. That through loneliness or sickness, through cancer, through surgery, through the loss of a loved one, pain or trial, the Christian says, it's enough that I know Christ. It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean we don't shed tears. It doesn't take away the sting of pain that we have in this world. But when we've seen the Lord's Christ, then we can say it's enough. I have the comfort that the pain of this world cannot shake, cannot remove, cannot undo. The comfort of knowing that even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because He is with us. I can now face whatever comes with a peace, because I've seen the Savior. Now, verse 30 says, not only have seen the Savior, the one who will bring salvation, specifically says, my eyes have seen your salvation. This child is salvation incarnate. Like, in his very flesh, in his very being, he is God's salvation. We often talk about Jesus working or bringing salvation, and he does that. But he is salvation. We can't separate his work from who he is. This is God's salvation, the Christ, as Simeon says. The Lord's Christ, verse 26. As we saw last Sunday night, the anointed one, right? Prophet, priest, and king, God's Christ. Now, before we conclude, we briefly look at to whom this Savior would come. As the Song of Simeon concludes, verse 31, for this salvation which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation, for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. Simeon acknowledges that Christ's work is not an exclusive work that is only for the Israelite, the Hebrew people, for the Jewish people. Now, it is true, Simeon points to this fact, that for the glory of your people Israel, the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, the descendants of Abraham, had a blessing that the nations did not yet have. Because up to this point, it was the Hebrews that had received the prophecies, they had the signs, they had the Old Testament laws, they had the temple. And when you think of the first people that got to embrace Christ, the first people that were able to acknowledge, Simeon and Anna were Hebrews, they were Jews. And they were the first ones who were able to embrace this little one, the shepherds on the hillside that heard the angels, that heard that angelic message, and then traveled to Bethlehem. They were They were Jews. This was the culmination of all the Old Testament promises. And they were able to first testify to the fact that God had kept his word, but it wasn't just for them. Because they have wise men, right? The wise men came from the east, from afar. They were Gentiles. And throughout the life of Jesus, he was speaking even to, I believe it was the Samaritan woman. Jesus says, I came first to the Jews. My first primary mission is to the Jewish people. Then the woman says, but don't the little dogs get the crumbs that fall off the table? And Jesus says, I've not seen faith like this. My own people. I haven't seen faith like this. So although it is for the glory of the Israelites, God's people, that they were the first to receive it, they had the signs, they had the prophets, they had the preparation, it is also a light for the revelation to the Gentiles. Because as the angels themselves said, this is earlier in chapter 2, verse 10, the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for the Hebrews. That will be for the Israelites. No, it says that will be for all people. Yes, there are blessings. Simeon, Mary, Joseph, Zechariah, John the Baptist, and the list goes on. There is that faithful remnant of Israelites who understood where the Old Testament was going, and they were waiting. And when God's Savior and God's salvation appears, they rejoice and they embrace, and their hearts are filled with a peace and a comfort that lasts. But as the day of Pentecost arrives, Jesus sends the church to Jerusalem. It started at Jerusalem, didn't it? And that's where Pentecost took place. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to Illinois, and to the ends of the earth, to the Gentiles, to us. So we too enjoy the blessed work of God's salvation. As Isaiah 60 says, the Lord will arise upon you and his glory will be seen upon you, and all nations shall come to your light. Or Isaiah 45, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. The gospel is not just for the Jews, but it's for us, for all people. The good news that a Savior is born is for us. The comfort of God's salvation, of the Lord's Christ, is for us. Male or female, slave or free, Jew or Gentile, we are all one in Him. To conclude, congregation, Jesus Christ brings comfort, brings salvation to His people. As Lord's Day 21 defines the universal church, Christ gathers his people from all nations, tribes, tongues, and languages from the beginning of the earth to its end. The majority of believers in the Old Testament, the vast majority, were Hebrews, were Jews, the descendants of Abraham, but there were others. Perhaps you've heard a sermon series on the mothers of Christ, right? Grafting in of Gentiles into the covenant line. But after Christ would come and send his Spirit, the gospel would go out in those circles expanding to cover the entire world. Simeon was waiting for God's salvation to arrive, and Simeon was filled with joy because he had seen God's salvation. That expectation, that desire was finally met with a lasting delight because what he desired had been received and placed in his arms as he beheld Christ. Now, this time of year, we all have things we look forward to. Perhaps you're looking forward to something later today or later this next week. It's not bad to look forward to things. But the arrival, the reception, the embracing of Jesus Christ must be our principle, our highest delight, and our greatest joy. Because the things of this world, they never last. They cannot stand under the weight that we push upon them, the emphasis that we place. They don't live up to their expectation. Because I imagine in 362 days when we come to next Christmas, that the toys that you are so excited about right now are going to be found in that very same shelf, if not in the garbage. Right? The expectation of the passing things of this life to last, it's not going to happen. They're not going to last. They're not going to stay. But when your highest delight, your greatest joy is fellowship and the peace and the salvation and the comfort that we have from God's Christ, our expectation to not only behold him now with a heart of faith, but to one day behold him with our actual eyes, that we can say with the church at the end of Revelation, come Lord Jesus, that we want, like Simeon does, to see God's salvation. If that's our greatest delight, that it's my privilege to tell you that that's an expectation that will not leave you with a failure to meet what you hope. You'll not be disappointed. Our comfort that we have in Christ never disappoints. So, congregation of Christ, if you have received this Savior into your heart, if you have embraced the Lord's Christ, then you too can live and die in the comfort and peace of God's salvation. The Song of Simeon reveals the peace of God that comes and is proclaimed to all people. So let us this day depart. Let us live in the comfort of this grace. Let his peace, let his consolation move you, move all men to rejoice and to praise him for his light and his salvation. As we sing in Psalm 325, Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. That's an echo of this song of Simeon. Dismiss us with your blessing. Dismiss us not only into our day, but dismiss us at the end of our life. We can be dismissed with the comfort and peace of knowing God's salvation. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings that we have through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the fact that he is your Christ and he is your salvation. Fill our hearts with joy and peace and dismiss us with your comfort and consolation. And we thank you for the blessed work of fulfillment that he has achieved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.